welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the white boy radio of free speech, because white boys, we come on here and we talk story, and it's a radio show. At least sometimes it is. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, smash it with extreme prejudice, send badly needed funds. But there's other things that you can do. What else can they do, Jeremy?
Mail a check or money order payable to RBN to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. And you can call that into Mike or Julie. They'll take your number. And then you can also use PayPal to donate. Keep free speech alive. To keep white boy summer and on into the fall. We'll have an Indian summer.
Well, you know what I did?
What's that?
I just dropped it off in person. So just drove down to Double Creek Drive in Round Rock, Texas, and I just dropped it off in person. You can do that too.
So you're able to see with your own eyes the works. Wow, the great RBN. And
it's
in action. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, and there might be an Indian summer, but right now it's still white boy summer. So what you always prepare, I don't always prepare, but you've prepared. What have you prepared for us today?
Well, possibly on the eve of destruction. And by the way, I feel like we're in an episode of Back to the Future. We're recording your show, which is going to air tomorrow. And then my show is tonight because today is Tuesday. But tomorrow when the people hear this show, that they'll think it's after my show, which was last night, which is actually tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. People listening to this show will know what you said on your show last night. We don't know yet. It's still a mystery to us.
Great Scott! Anyway, on the eve of destruction, what would happen if China invaded Taiwan and there was a U.S. military response? That's what this article is dealing with. As soon as it pulls up, I'll read it to you. Because it'll be interesting. I think they mentioned like the U.S. losing over 900 warplanes. Let's see, Business Insider, that's what it is. Yeah, from businessinsider.com. The U.S. could lose up to 900 warplanes fighting a Chinese invasion of Taiwan, but would emerge victorious, says a think tank. So that's interesting. This think tank says that the U.S. would actually win in an air battle. It ran a war game analysis for a conflict between U.S. and China over Taiwan. Let's see who this is. A Washington think tank. That's all it says. Center for Strategic and International Studies. So I guess they're a big deal on the block. I don't know. One of the analysis showed in Business Insider, the U.S. and Taiwan would likely succeed in beating back a Chinese invasion. However, both sides would likely suffer devastating losses. Up to 900 U.S. warplanes could be destroyed. They have the nerve to put this out after this debacle in the Ukraine and the total failure of the West. So I find this very interesting. So first of all, before I get more into the article, what do you think of a Chinese invasion of Taiwan? What would it take? Would it even happen?
It would only happen if Taiwan declares independence. And it's possible Taiwan could declare independence. I would think, though, that after the Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, and, you know, the rather, even China's rather restrained response, you know, they're not going to send sand to Taiwan. But, you know, I don't know. Taiwan, I would think they'd have plenty of their own sand, but, you know, whatever. There's probably a few other things. But probably more than anything else, probably the main response that got people's attention was China just ignoring the traditional demarcation line for, you know, airspace between Taiwan and China and the mainland. I think that probably more people got kind of spooked by this. My guess. This is just my guess. I would think more people in Taiwan are looking at the Pelosi's visit as having caused more problems than, you know, advancing interests. I think probably people are looking at detrimentally. My guess is that the end result of this visit is that anti-independence forces, you know, pro-status quo forces, will probably be strengthened. And so that even if the cat lady who runs Taiwan, what's her name, Tsai Ing-wen, even if Tsai Ing-wen might have been toying with the idea of a declaration of independence, she's probably less likely to now. That's my guess. It's only semi-informed. But, you know, if they're, that's the only scenario I see where China would actually invade, because an invasion is just going to cause, it's going to destroy more than it's worth. You know, if there's an invasion, you know, you're destroying all this really, really valuable infrastructure. The industrial infrastructure of Taiwan is actually a lot more valuable than the infrastructure of Ukraine. This is why Taiwan might only have half the population of Ukraine, but it probably has like a few times more GDP because it's got very, very valuable industrial infrastructure. And why would China want to destroy that?
The article does mention that the think tank said that the good news is that in the end of it all, there's an autonomous Taiwan. But then in the next paragraph, it says that losses of hundreds of aircraft carriers and terrible devastation to the Taiwanese economy and also to the Chinese Navy and Air Force. I don't think they're being as open and honest about the destruction that would happen to Taiwan. The way I'm looking at it, if Taiwan declared, you know, if the United States gets Taiwan to declare independence, then goodbye Taiwan. I mean, as we know it anyway. And I think the U.S. and China, it's something that China definitely does not want. But would the U.S. be willing to, you know, do this, knowing that they could lose half of Taiwan? And I would say yes, just judging by their actions as of late. But go ahead. I think I interrupted you.
No, I think that China has been playing the long game. It's been playing the waiting game. I think that they are confident enough. China looks at its own society, its own economy, its own, you know, model of government as being a successful one, one that has, over the past 40 years, created enormous wealth and affluence. And I think they're confident. And they are prepared to play a waiting game, thinking that sooner or later the logic of some sort of integration between Taiwan and the mainland, that logic will just become overwhelming. And that, you know, this is the difference. Maybe this is the difference between, groups of people like the Chinese or the Jews on the one hand, and then Americans on the other hand. I mean, America, we're such a new country, and, you know, our history goes back like 2.5 centuries as an independent country. But even so, most of the people here are probably of more recent origin. You know, we might know where our grandparents came from. A lot of people don't even know their great grandparents' names. Whereas you know, the Chinese or the Jews, they've got this really, really deep sense of history. And I think it makes long term planning something that they're more likely to engage in, long-term planning. America, I don't think America really does long-term planning. You know, I don't think very many Americans really give a thought to what things are going to be like 100 years from now or 200 years from now. And so they're, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I got for you.
Yeah, you know, I made my statement that I think the U.S. would be willing to destroy half of Taiwan, just because they're that reckless, and they've demonstrated that quite clearly. So, you know, speaking about China, I mentioned to you, I ran across this article from CNN. They're still doing COVID lockdowns in certain key areas, Shanghai, we sort of discussed these lockdowns before. I just thought this was interesting. CNN reports in Shanghai that panicked shoppers rushed for the exits in an IKEA branch in Shanghai on Saturday after city health authorities ordered the store to lock down after a close contact of COVID-19 was traced to the location. Multiple videos on social media showed customers yelling and pushing each other in an attempt to escape the building before the doors closed. There was a press briefing Sunday. The deputy director of the Health Commission of Shanghai said that the store in the affected area would be under closed-loop management for 2 days. People inside the loop must go through 2 days of quarantine at a government facility and 5 days of health surveillance. So I got to tell you, as much as I admire China's courage and stance and pushing back against the global homo world order, I'm not digging these lockdowns. Mm-hmm. What do you make of this? So I thought maybe it might be CNN just, you know, throwing some fodder out there, but apparently they have videos of it.
Yeah. So there's a couple things. First of all, you know, China is a society, and this is different from Japan and probably different from Korea, but Chinese society is a society that they value affluence, they value wealth, they don't really value freedom. And they, you know, Andrew Anglin talks about them as having a hive mentality. But, you know, they're very much into order and, you know, wealth creation, not into personal liberty. And that's something where Western people and Chinese people really are different. There's a difference there. The Japanese, Japanese in a lot of ways are a lot closer to Western people. Out of all the Asians, they're the closest, and they do, like, they care about freedom and liberty, but at the same time that they care about it, they're just kind of, they also have almost like a hive mentality too. But on the other hand, or not on the other hand, the other thing is that the Chinese, I think they just plain don't understand the COVID stuff. And some people think that the Chinese invented COVID in a lab and released it. And I think that their response to the virus really shows that they don't know what the heck's going on, that this wasn't something that they invented. It's certainly something they don't understand. They've got this zero COVID policy, which really doesn't make any sense if they really understood it. And I think a lot of people who listen to this show, or, you know, people who read Andrew Anglin or a lot of other, you know, people, they have the feeling that if anybody is doing lockdowns, or if they have vaccines, that proves they're in on it, that they're in on the conspiracy. But the way I look at it is if they're doing that stuff, it proves they don't understand. They don't know what's going on. The zero COVID policy makes absolutely no sense, but you can understand it if the Japanese or the Chinese, if they're reading the newspapers and they're reading that a million Americans have died from COVID, and, you know, all these Italians, all these people around the world have died from COVID, and yet in their own country the deaths are rather low. What they're going to think is, oh, okay, well, we just do a better job of stopping the spread. We're doing a better job of wearing masks. We're good at this stuff. The Westerners, they just don't have the discipline. They don't have the discipline. I think that's what they're thinking. I think that the Chinese believe in the coronavirus, that they believe a lot of what's coming out of the United States, and maybe not all of them, but enough of them do. And I think that's, is really a better explanation of this lockdown approach, this zero COVID approach, than the idea that they're in on some sort of weird conspiracy with the Jews and whomever else.
And I just wanted to clarify. I wanted to clarify for the audience. I know you understood it, but it wasn't that they were going to be trapped in the store for like days. It's that they would be, you know, tagged to go into this closed loop where they have to go quarantine and be under surveillance by the health ministry, you know, for 5 days. And I guess some of them didn't want to go through that, so they were trying to rush to get out the door, so they wouldn't be tagged. That just want to make that clear.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I can imagine some people thinking that they were going to get trapped in the store for like a week. I didn't. No, that's not what it said.
Yeah, and you know, my experience actually being in China is very old, but when I was there, things were pretty arbitrary, and you know, I would find a place to stay, and then as soon as I would settle down, then the you know, the security police would come by and say, "No foreigners here." You know, and everything seemed very, very arbitrary.
Well, so here, as you mentioned, two different totally cultures, societies, China and America, and, you know, you're right, Andrew England almost describes them as being alien to us and us alien to them. But here in America, we do value our freedom, and most people do, I think, and that freedom's been trampled on. With the COVID nonsense, Black Lives Matter, and now the FBI stuff. But before the FBI raided Trump's Mar-a-Lago, we had this little showdown starting up in Missouri between the sheriff's department and the FBI. This one sort of slipped through the cracks. I didn't see it. I can't remember who I heard. Someone in RBN mentioned it. I want to say it was Ron on the show before yours. A Search for Lawful Government. That's the show I heard it on. So apparently the FBI has to audit this particular office, and I'm having internet problems, so it's taking me a little bit to pull up the article. But the sheriff's refused, and they have the state attorney general backing them up. They actually went to him with this. Here we go. This is a very good one. KRCGTV.com. And it's pulling up now. Loading page. Ah. Senator Hawley's pushback against the FBI firearms audit. Jefferson City, where did I say that was? Missouri?
Uh-huh, that's the capital of Missouri.
Yep. After an email, no, I was making sure I didn't make a mistake and say Arkansas. I'm pretty sure I said Missouri a while ago before I pulled it up. After an email, alleged a firearms background check audit, including a review of concealed carry permits, was given to the Platte County Sheriff's Office, several other departments have preemptively stated that they would not turn over any such information with the support of the Republican Attorney General Eric Schmidt. So, by the way, this all went down back at the end of July, and this is the newest article on it, August 8th. So it is a little dated, and this is the latest one I could find. So an email from Roger Shaw, who is an auditor of the FBI's Criminal Justice Information Services Division, that audit was delivered to the officials at Platte County Sheriff's Department, informed them that the audit would take place on August 10th to the last week. And it didn't, because they refused. They actually sent a letter to the attorney general, and he sent a letter to, and here we go. First of all, let's see what the audit includes. An on-site review of the concealed carry weapons permits and the disposition of firearm use. And, of course, the FBI promised not to collect any unnecessary information on their citizens.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Agent man, they've given you a number and they've taken away your name.
And the disposition of firearm use. And of course, the FBI promised not to collect any unnecessary information on the citizens whom had been issued these firearms permits. Of course, they wouldn't. They promised that. The FBI was securing the national security of the – they were wanting to check the criminal background system, and that's why they said that they're doing this audit. They're going to try to find any flaws in the system. So everybody that believes that, stand on their head, by the way. At no point would auditors require access to lists such as state-approved concealed carry holders. This is the FBI telling them that they wouldn't get into the privacy of the people. The pushback. So the Sheriff's Department immediately reported this to Schmidt's office. And then Schmidt, who is also a presumptive Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, Schmidt's the Attorney General, by the way, he wrote a letter to the FBI Director Christopher Wray, in which Schmidt accused the FBI of negligence and partisan attacks. This is not going to happen, Schmidt wrote in the letter. I will fight you tooth and nail with all the resources that the people of Missouri have given me as their attorney general. In the original email from the FBI to Platte County, this is where they wanted to do the audit. The FBI stated they wanted to do the audit August 8th through 12th, the week of that. No other counties were mentioned. They only noted Platte County. But still, even though no other counties were mentioned, the article says that other sheriff's offices across the state have preemptively noted that they will not turn over any such information to the federal government. Tony Helms of Camden County states, under no circumstances will I, as your duly elected sheriff, share your personal CCW information with the FBI. He actually posted that too on Facebook. I have been assured that our agency will not be receiving any such requests from Washington, D.C., this Callaway County sheriff said. But please know that if that is to change, my answer will be an unequivocal no. So there's a little bit more to the article, but the gist of it is that under the Second Amendment, and because they swore an oath to the Constitution, these sheriffs are taking a stand, and they got their ag having their back. Now, this, Patrick, is very fascinating. This is what I was talking about 2 years ago when you and I were talking about possible secession. These are the actions that I like seeing. These are the actions that I consider part of a secession from the federal government. What do you think?
And, well, you know, if you go back to the Soviet Union in 1990, it was this was the type of thing that was foreshadowing the breakup of the Soviet Union. It was local officials in these the Union republics in Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan, or even in smaller subunits, refusing to enforce laws, refusing to send on taxes, because the tax collection was largely at the local level, and then the local governments would send it on to Moscow. And you just started having local governors and mayors, leaders of republics, just no longer cooperate. And when that starts happening, the idea of further, you know, degradation of central government authority to the extent that you might even have complete success or attempts at secession, yeah, that stops becoming fantasy. It starts becoming a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, we've already got political secession in a way with state legislatures, you know, making laws and passing them and overriding their Democrat governors if they have one, that basically go against pretty much everything the federal government stands for: trannyism, COVID measures, mail-in voting. They haven't been big on the BLM stuff. I haven't seen a lot of good legislation on the BLM thing, but, I mean, you can't have it all, right? As a matter of fact, I brag on Kentucky all the time, but something we didn't cover that fell through the cracks. Here in Kentucky, the officers that shot Breonna Taylor in the no-knock warrant after the boyfriend had shot through the door, they returned fire and hit Breonna Taylor. You know, they were not found guilty, and the feds actually came in and arrested them on hate crime charges. So I'm not very happy about that. I wish that the Attorney General Cameron would have done more. And he was on the side of the officers, by the way, even though he's black. He's based. So I wish that he would have done more, though, and not let the feds take these men away. But it is what it is. You can't win them all. But no, that having been said, you're right. What we're seeing, I think, maybe is more what you would call like a political secession and not like an actual secession. You know what I'm saying? It's
well, it's what I've been calling nullification, which is hearkening back to, I guess, South Carolina back in, 1829 or so, declaring that its laws supersede the laws of the United States. And so, yeah, when these local areas or even states are not enforcing federal law, I mean, the irony, of course, is that the federal government doesn't enforce so many federal laws.
Right, and so I'll be interested to see the response of the federal government to these Missouri sheriffs. Let's see how far they're willing to go.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com, or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Right, and so I'll be interested to see the response of the federal government to these Missouri sheriffs. Let's see how far they're willing to go. I mean, if they have the Constitution on their side, you know, even if the Attorney General went against them, their response should be to deputize about 200 people in each county, armed citizens, and, you know, say, no, we're not playing. That's what it needs to come down to. If we're going to see any real change, things like that have to happen. And I didn't say violence. I didn't say, oh, I don't want it, a firefight. I just said deputize them and arm them and send a message. Hey, you're not sending anybody in here to force this audit, and you're not going to have our sheriff arrested. So, because yeah. I guess that's part of the, you know, the article is that the sheriff mentioned that they could face jail time, and I'm thinking, not with 200 armed people surrounding your office, you're not facing any jail time. But anyway, you know, this whole thing, America has always been divided. It just hasn't really been as obvious, probably until Obama, you know, and the tranny bathroom stuff and the gay marriage stuff. That was all around 2015. And people just really, I mean, there was a big backlash to that. And that brought us Trump, right? And people were excited about Trump because they kind of felt this bearing down on the federal government. They didn't like it. They saw the immigration, and I would say that most Trump voters were worried about white people disappearing. Now, they're not going to say it, they're certainly not going to be explicit about it. And they're going to cloak it in American civic nationalism lingo, right? But I think a lot of people just saw their Walmarts just like going Hispanic and their, you know, their local restaurants and their local dollar stores going Hispanic and, you know, all the farmers bringing them in. I think they saw this and that's what prompted Trump. And people actually began to consider what would a world without whites look like. Well, someone else has written about this. Actually, he's a Pajit. This is something I mentioned to you in the prep. I'm just pulling it up. Before I get into this, what do you think a world without whites would look at if you could just give it in a nutshell?
So, yeah, and that depends on when whites disappear. Like, if you say there was, like, a world without whites and, like, whites never happened, right, what would the world look like? Well, the world would probably look like it did in the 15th century. You know, that's probably we, or at best, it might look like you know, Japan in the 1800s, right, in the 19th century. We wouldn't be doing shows with cell phones. We wouldn't have planes. We just wouldn't have this stuff. Sooner or later, other people, probably the Orientals, would have developed things, but the Chinese and the Japanese were fairly far behind the West. And you know, you had this this Chinese admiral, I can't remember his name, but several decades before Columbus, he went on this major expedition around the Indian Ocean. They weren't sailing into the straight into the sea, like into the deep sea. They were going along the coast. They were going along the coast, of Thailand and Burma and India and Arabia and down the coast to, I think they went as far as Zanzibar off the coast of Tanzania and East Africa. That's a long way. It was a substantial achievement. And it wasn't just the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. It was a massive armada. And that, well, for the 1420s or something. But the Chinese emperor decided to scrap all that. Forget it. We don't need anything out there. We're just going to we've got everything we need here in China. Now,
well, yeah. So based on that, China is not really interested in expanding like the Europeans did, right? Is that your point?
Well, they weren't. They decided not to expand. The whether you like it or not, that expansion, having the Europeans crossing the Atlantic Ocean, and you know, being able to go across oceans as opposed to just simply sailing along coastlines, and then tying in all of these continents, all of, you know, Africa and Eurasia, but also North and South America, tying it into one massive economy. You know, it brought together all this labor and resources, but it also prompted the development of all sorts of technologies. And, you know, if you're going to be crossing the ocean, you need to know where you are. And it was Europeans who figured out how to measure longitude, you know, how to map the world. There's this it was Europeans who created the modern world. Maybe if that Chinese admiral had been allowed to, you know, sail, to continue his expeditions, maybe it would have been different. But, you know, the Chinese decided not to do that. And, you know, and they never tried again. The Japanese never tried. It was the Europeans who did it. And the Europeans invented the modern world. I think sooner or later somebody else would have, probably Orientals. They probably would have, but it would have taken, you know, let's just say it took them a couple hundred years later, or a couple hundred years longer. Well, where was the world a couple hundred years ago? And so, right. You know, there were no cell phones, there's no airplanes. That's what a world without whites would look like. That's my long answer to the short question.
And that's an interesting discussion. I didn't know we were going to go that way. Actually, the article is referring to a glimpse of a future without white people.
Yeah.
So that's another, but another good discussion, a glimpse of a future without white people. So this is from Mohsen Hamid, and the book is called The Last White Man. It's about race metamorphosis and the seduction of power. So first of all, he says whiteness is an illusion that's on, yeah, whatever. Whatever, Hajib. Anchored in the bear and the egalical prose, Haman has made his trademark style, the transformation of which Anders is the first, but not only and certainly not the last. What if whiteness were suddenly gone? Would the social order of life come undone? Would anything change? Where Hammond lands doesn't exactly persuade. So it says the sequence of events that follows plays into an ancient fear that of the other one's need to estrange. This article is really not making sense, but it's basically saying that this guy is basically saying, this author, that, let's see, the transformation would be irreversible, but that basically society would, you know, persevere and come on along. Let's see, before more and more residents transform from white to varying shades of brown, first causing an uproar until only one person, from which the novel draws its seemingly doom-laden title, is the remaining reservoir of whiteness. At this point, the novel's questions begin to stack. What is left to hold on to after such a life-altering occurrence? What remains paramount? Hamid answers love. So he's talking about how human love will overcome this. And it will overcome the breakdown of technology and all of this. I don't know. I don't want to read this article verbatim. It just sparked an interesting question that this Indian guy was raising this issue, you know, that everybody is now openly talking about. It's not conspiratorial anymore. And I think a world without whites would look like South Africa after apartheid. That's my short answer to a really long portion of the article. What do you think about that?
So a world after white people. That's okay. So
right.
If we
after white,
not
people.
That white never existed, but yeah.
And I'm saying South Africa after apartheid is what it looks like.
Okay, and South Africa after apartheid is a big disaster. I'd say there's two scenarios. One scenario would be where Jews wind up being dominant, and the other scenario is where Chinese wind up being dominant. So if Jews wind up being dominant, you know, once the whites are out of the way, then they're going to go after they'll go after the Orientals. I mean, I think it's already starting. And they'll try to do the same thing to the Orientals, maybe they through different means, because they can't use some of the same means. They can't say, hey, fellow Chinamen, you know, the way they say, hey, fellow white people. But, you know, they'd go after them. And then, you know, eventually, and in the meantime, like, they're weaponizing the black population explosion. Eventually, you might get to a point where the world kind of looks like South Africa, at which point the Jews who are around just... That South Africa would morph into the Gaza, and they just start wiping out the Africans. They'd completely wipe them out without any inhibition. If the Chinese wind up being dominant, I think a lot of like white culture, even white people don't remain, but a lot of white culture would remain. They'd still be playing Beethoven and Mozart and a lot of stuff like that. People might still be dressing in suits and ties and Western clothing, and but you know, without white people, what's it going to be? It might wind up being, you know, like I said earlier, the Chinese they're not really big on freedom and liberty, right? They're not big on that. You might have it being very orderly and affluent, but I don't think the Chinese tend to be as innovative as whites. I mean, whites
have sort of plateau out, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and finish yours.
No, I was going to say, I mean, whites have their weak points for sure. One is they're kind of gullible and they're too polite, and you know, it's almost as if, well, if standing up for ourselves and ensuring a future for our people and for our children means like offending the Jews, well, we don't want to be offensive. Well just
the modern, the modern white man definitely. Historically, not so much so, only up until about the early 20th century, right?
But that's where we are now, right? That's where we are now.
Yeah, that leads me to ask, is it even possible to extinguish the white man? It seems like there's kind of become a critical point where you've got the core of white European people that would possibly revert back to their ancestors' behavior and fight an establishment. You know, how far is it going to have to go for, you know, them to do that? Apparently they're willing to let it go pretty far. But concerning the Chinese, no, I see what you're saying. The Chinese would just plateau out, right? That's what they did without any European intervention. They reached a really sophisticated level of civilization, you know, and then they just kind of stayed there, right?
Yeah, they can maintain the civilization, but they're a lot less likely to advance it.
So, like, even all during the dynasties, right? I mean, for a couple of thousand years that we know of, I mean, the Chinese have had a very good civilization, but pretty much the same. I mean, they had pretty advanced, you know, bladed weaponry and bows and arrows, and you know, marriage customs. I mean, great structures. I mean, they did build great structures. And probably if Europeans were gone, they would be just stuck at the level of technology they're at now and just keep maintaining that. And I don't see China.
Yeah.
I don't see China ever floating into Eurasia. You know, the whole Eurasian thing, Kaladi plan? What was that dude's name?
Caligari plan?
Yeah. Kalergi. There you go.
Kalergi.
Yeah, I don't see the Chinese really falling into that one.
Yeah.
So probably in a world where Europeans disappeared, the Chinese would probably be the only, you know, non-mongoled race on Earth.
Yeah, I mean, for white people, the path to white extinction or whatever, probably the main venue for it is through like white women with black men. Is like one of the main venues for it is just through injecting non-white genes into the white gene pool. And in America, that's very largely through, you know, white men or white women, black men, or in Europe maybe, you know, Muslim men. But that's a big hunk of it right there.
Yeah, well, the reason why whites are so altruistic to the point of their own destruction is just because of the media that's been fed to them for, you know, seven or eight decades, really, really nearly 100 years of Hollywood media that's just broken them down. It's broken us down to explain why white people are like they are now. And so at what point when things start to collapse, you know, and that influence, you know, goes away, or is at least subsided enough, will people wake up? I guess that's my question. But what have we got left on time? Because I'm not used to – we didn't stop recording the breaks.
We've got about 5 minutes left.
Well, good.
Yeah, I'm recording without breaks because it's white boy summer, and still on my road trip, and I am going back, a blast from the past. I am driving through Charlottesville. My gosh.
Are you there now?
And I'd like to get out of Charlottesville, but just like James Fields, it ain't that easy. It's not that easy sometimes. And I'd like to, you want to get out, and next thing you know, you're going down the street and people are attacking your car. Nobody's attacking my car, but I kind of recognize these streets. I've been here before. It's almost like deja vu.
I see. Well, fortunately, we're back to the future here, and this airs tomorrow, and the Joker cannot triangulate you and try to attack the Batmobile.
There you go. Yeah.
So what can you tell us without divulging anything classified? What can you tell us about White Boy Summer and your trip? You already said you went to RBN.
I did go to RBN. And here's one thing that really made an impression on me is people walking around in Texas are armed. They're very armed. And this is something that I never fully appreciated.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Walking around in Texas are armed. They're very armed. And this is something that I never fully appreciated. But who was I talking to in Texas? It might have been Mark Dankoff. Or maybe it was somebody else. But you know, I said, well, you know, what percentage of people are walking around always carrying a firearm? You know, always in their pocket. What percentage of people? And he said about probably 25%. And I said, what, 25% of men? He said, no, 25% of everybody. So mm-hmm. for men, that would be higher. I guess for women, it would be lower. But that's a lot of people. And, you know, I was in other places. I was, you know, I've just been going around and in some rural areas. And, that's a difference. And, of course, if you're in an eastern seaboard city, then, you know, you're not allowed to walk into a Walmart with carrying a firearm. Just not allowed to do this.
What about those that open carried? Of the percentage of people that carry, period, Mark was saying 25%. What about open carry? What do you think that would be?
I've hardly ever seen anybody open carry.
I see that a lot in West Kentucky.
Do you see it a lot in West Kentucky?
Yeah.
No, I don't see it.
It's actually like nice to see, you know, upstanding American citizen packing heat on his hip, like at a Walmart. I'm used to that.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I never see it. So that's one of the things I really got out of this trip, a lot of my fellow Americans are walking around carrying a Roscoe, whatever it's called.
Well, you never know how things are going to go down and when the populace when citizens might need to be deputized by their local sheriffs. It's always good to be ready.
Yeah. Well, you know who, and I could be wrong on this, but you know who I understand from the big city, a big city person who often walked around carrying a Roscoe?
Who's that?
Donald Trump.
Is that right?
I don't know. I don't know if it's right, but I heard it.
Wonder if Melania packed. That would be so hot.
That would be very hot. Yeah, and, you know, I keep hearing, like, on a certain other show on RBN that the feds, like, when they were at Mar-a-Lago, that they raided Melania's, underwear drawer.
Well, yeah, they're wearing them now.
Yeah. No, there wasn't anything left there.
They're pulling a J. Edgar Hoover. They're wearing that to work.
Well, anyway, before I somehow lose my dignity, I think maybe it's time to sign off.
Well, on that note, you stay classy, Patrick, as we will try.
It's a struggle, I'll tell you.
It is.
But thank you for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's easeoff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.